Ross Bowman Podcast.
You better listen.
Welcome back to the Ross Bowlin Podcast. I'm Ross Bowlin here with Kate Orris. And Kate, as much as I would love to spend today getting even further into the holiday spirit, we've got some very important, extremely concerning breaking news to start today's show about a man who famously played Santa.
And who would that be?
You're well aware, Kate, of my well-documented and one-sided, admittedly, beef with Tim Allen, yes?
Yes, as a longtime listener, I am very aware of your long rants about that rat bastard.
So why do I call Tim Allen a rat bastard, Cade?
I believe because he was moving more snow than Jack Frost, and he got arrested for it, and he snitched on all of his dealers.
Yeah.
It's a short story.
I don't know about more than Jack Frost, but yeah, 24 years old, Tim Allen, pre-fame, pre-Hollywood, was arrested in Michigan at an airport with more than 650 grams of blow. And he pled guilty to trafficking charges, and then he turned in all of the other dealers he knew in exchange for a lighter sentence, and of course went on to become very famous through the show Home Improvement, and then the Santa Claus. But the information that Tim Allen gave the government helped authorities indict 20 people in the drug trade and resulted in the conviction and sentencing of four major drug dealers. So he's a rat. He's a rat bastard. And people are all on Gunna's ass calling him a rat, but Tim Allen, a real rat, gets a pass?
Which is crazy because Gunna could crush it as Santa Claus, but Tim Allen could never release a masterpiece like A Gift and a Curse.
Yeah, it's not right. He should have been in prison till infinity and beyond. And it turns out Tim Allen is not only a rat bastard, but also a bitch. Here's a headline. Tim Allen was a bitch on Santa Claus's set, co-star claims. So fucking rude. From the New York Post, Santa Claus may be on the naughty list this Christmas. Casey Wilson, who appeared alongside Tim Allen for the pilot episode of Disney Plus's The Santa Clauses series, claims working with him was, quote, truly the single worst experience I've ever had with a co-star ever, end quote. The Saturday Night Live star spoke to Variety on Wednesday of this week about how the Home Improvement alum allegedly wasn't exactly in the holiday spirit during filming. She bluntly claimed Tim Allen was such a bitch, explaining that she buried this information for over a year since the series' release because her friend was a producer on the project and her kids, quote, loved the movies. So the series is a continuation of Tim Allen's classic Santa Claus film trilogy, which, admittedly, the first Santa Claus movie is solid. It's a solid Christmas flick. And I'll still throw it up, you know, even being a little bit embarrassed about it. I'll put it on, like, once a season. And that's it.
But you're not going with two or three? You're not.
No, those are garbage.
You're not watching the one where he tries to find love? Or no. I don't even know what happens in the third one. I think he loses his powers or something.
Yeah. It gets, like, replaced or something. Maybe they bring in, like, a Jack Frost character or some shit. But, yeah, no, I'm not watching two or three. Those are terrible. And I'm certainly not watching the Disney Plus series Santa Clauses.
Have you seen the synopsis for it?
No.
It says he's trying to retire. He's 65 and he's trying to retire because he can't be Santa Claus forever.
Yeah.
But I feel like he can be because, like, Santa is, like, magical and no can live forever.
Yeah, so I thought the only way for him to retire was for somebody to push him off a roof or something like that.
Yeah, that's how I thought that works. So I don't know what that all is, but I guess that's the what they got going on in the series.
So it's him trying to find his replacement?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, Wilson portrayed adult Sarah in the series. So if you remember in the first movie, there's a little girl named Sarah who gives Santa soy milk. And he's like disgusted by it. This is the grown-up version of that. That's the actress who's complaining and calling Tim Allen a bitch is playing the adult version of that little girl. It says here, Wilson deemed Allen somewhat of a diva after she claimed he became flustered during filming and oddly approached production about their interaction. She said, quote, "So I'm in a scene. It's just me and Tim Allen, and I'm supposed to throw things at him. I think he's a burglar, so he's coming down the chimney, obviously a Santa, and I am woken up thinking there's an intruder, basically like a home invasion scene. So I'm throwing things at him. And Tim goes over to the producer who is standing 4 feet from me and goes, and I hear him, he goes, 'You gotta tell her to stop stepping on my lines.' And the producer turns to me with horror on his face and has to walk 1 foot to me, and he goes, Tim would ask that you stop stepping on his lines."
Just in case she didn't hear it.
Yeah.
You know, just turn to the side and like, hey, you know, quit stepping on his lines.
Big timing the shit out of this chick. And Wilson also alleged that the Toy Story actor, quote, was so fucking rude once he was done filming his scenes and that, quote, everybody was walking on eggshells around him and, quote, just looked frantic. And then she tells a story. She said, so it's the end. And Tim Allen goes, leaving, takes his Santa cape, picks it up, and drops it on the floor and walks out. And they hustle in his stand-in, a lovely man who was much nicer to act against. People are scurrying to pick up his velvet Santa coat. She continued, he's a bitch. And this is the best. I will not say who said this. This was someone that I do not know, perhaps in the crew. He or she breezes past me and just goes, you're seeing him on a good day.
Wait, so when he left, they were still filming, and like,
I guess he was done.
Like, he just did his lines,
and then he just
all right, I'm a dip.
He just yelled out, leaving, which I kind of, that's actually a
respect that. He's
baller
like,
move, yeah.
But I didn't know they did that. He was like, I don't want to be here too long. I got other more important shit to do.
Yeah, he's just acting like, I mean, look, here's my read. Tim Allen, storied Hollywood career, rat bastard or not, right? Feels that he is a much bigger star than probably his career reflects at this point. Like, he's doing Santa Clauses on Disney Plus, bro. Like, he's not exactly like,
yeah, money was running low, it seems like.
He's not Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Right? Like, even if they were Woody and Buzz together in Toy Story, he's, you know, he's just not that, I don't feel like he's all that respected in Hollywood, probably in part because he's a rat. And he's up there, he's like having to work with all these people he probably considers amateurs and that aren't famous like him and don't have the fucking resume that he does. So he's just big timing everybody on the set and being a dick. And his stand-in was much more fun and kind.
More
apparently.
Jolly, you would
say. Yeah, much more Santa-esque. It says, in a joint interview with The Post last month, Allen's daughter, Elizabeth Allen Dick, roasted her dad because, quote, he won't watch any of the other Santa Claus movies other than himself. And Tim Allen said, I can't watch another Santa Claus movie, especially when they're bad Santas. I know there are people that like the ugly Santa movies, but sometimes I'm like, eh, I don't know if I like bad Santas, you know, dressed up with knives and stabbing. I don't like that.
So she doesn't like bad Santa?
Well, I don't know what the fuck he's talking about. What is there a Santa movie where Santa's...
Oh, dude, there's so many. There's so many, like, horror Santa movies now.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. Well, it's not, like, Santa, but, like, there's Krampus.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
that's different.
Yeah.
The Krampus is different.
But there's a Christmas Horror Story.
Does Santa have knives?
Yeah, it looks like
it. Stabbing?
And then there's Violent Night with David Harbour from Stranger Things.
Yeah,
that's the most recent one.
Yeah, okay, that's probably what he's referencing.
Mm-hmm. And then there's also a Grinch one. It's just called The Mean One, where he just murders a bunch of the Who's in Whoville.
Jesus.
It's kind of like the Winnie the Pooh movie. They just turn that character like a horror movie.
That actually sounds intriguing. The Grinch goes full like serial killer?
Yeah, pretty much.
Sick. Must really ruin Christmas, huh?
Probably.
When the Grinch murders all the Who's. God. Brutal. Anyway, there you have it, folks. Tim Allen, not only a rat bastard, but also a bitch. I can't say that I'm surprised, honestly, as the two often coincide and go hand in hand. But this is obviously tough news for all of us to swallow during the holiday season when so many just want to enjoy the Santa Claus or one of the six sequels and spinoffs in peace without having to be reminded that the star who plays Santa was arrested for smuggling cocaine and then ratted out other dealers for a lighter sentence and is also a bitch.
So, I mean, you said you would watch the first Santa Claus, but not the other two. Yeah. Would you also watch Christmas with the Cranks, another Tim Allen Christmas movie?
Oh, I forgot he's in that one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
Ever seen it?
What is that?
Do
they crank?
Yeah, there's a lot of cranking in it, actually. No, not really.
It's Cranks with a K.
Yeah.
Okay. Dan Aykroyd and Jamie Lee Curtis are also in it.
Yeah, I think it's got a decent cast, but I think they like host Christmas every year, Tim Allen and Jamie Lee Curtis, and they're like, this year we're going to go on like a little vacation.
Okay.
And that ends up not happening, so they like kind of like have to get everyone together at their house for Christmas again, and I think that's like the plot of the movie.
Dude, it's based on it came out in 2004, Christmas with the Cranks, and it's based on the 2001 novel called Skipping Christmas by John Grisham.
Am I supposed to know who John Grisham is?
Yeah, probably.
Maybe.
He's like one of the most famous authors in history, in American history. He's like, he did a lot of legal thrillers. He used to be a lawyer, and he sold 300 million copies worldwide. So with Tom Clancy, J.K. Rowling, Grisham included with them as one of only three authors to have sold 2 million copies on the first printing.
Okay.
He's very, very rich. Anyway, I had no idea that Grisham, who normally does, like I said, legal thrillers, wrote a fucking Christmas book into a Tim Allen and Jamie Lee Curtis film.
None of these books are ringing any bells for me. I didn't quite.
I've never read one either.
Yeah.
But my dad read a bunch of them, and then I've got like friends who are big readers who always buy like the new Grisham novel when it comes out. Like, that's a thing.
New Grisham novel, hot drop.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck. but yeah, anyway. Love getting some good Tim Allen news at the top of the show. Hopefully the rest of today's show will bring better holiday vibes. Stick around to find out. This bustling holiday season, you might be looking for nutritious, convenient meals to keep you energized on jam-packed days. Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal delivery service, can help you fuel up for breakfast, lunch, and dinner with chef-prepared, dietitian-approved, ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door. You'll save time, eat well, and stay on track with your healthy lifestyle while tackling all your holiday to-dos. Today's episode is brought to you by Factor. Obviously, I've got two kids under five at home, a small business to run, and a total and utter lack of cooking skills. So I've been relying on and loving Factor meals for months and months and months now. But during the insanity of the holiday season, I'm even more thankful for Factor than ever. Seriously, I've been eating these for dinner since, I want to say, like February of this year, and they're amazing. Cross meal prepping off your list this holiday season with Factor. Skip the meal planning, grocery shopping, chopping, prepping, and cleaning up, and get Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals delivered to your door. They're ready in just 2 minutes, so all you have to do is heat and enjoy. If you're looking for calorie-conscious options over the holidays that don't skip on flavor, try delicious, dietitian-approved, calorie-smart meals with around or less than 550 calories per serving, or need an extra boost to support your wellness goals and feel your best during the holidays? Try Protein Plus meals with 30 grams of protein or more per serving. With Factor, you can also rest assured you're making a sustainable choice. They offset 100% of their delivery emissions, source 100% renewable electricity from their production sites and offices, and feature sustainably sourced seafood in their meals. This December, get Factor and enjoy eating well without the hassle. Simply choose your meals and enjoy fresh, flavor-packed meals delivered to your door. 2 minutes in the microwave. That's all it takes, Cade. No prep, no mess. They're delicious. I've tried a lot of different microwavable, you know, fast meals or whatever. In Factor, by far and away, the most delicious. Head to factormeals.com/RBP50 and use code RBP50 to get 50% off. That's code RBP50 at factormeals.com/RBP50 to get 50% off. So this past Sunday, I was watching my Houston Texans play on CBS when I noticed something odd.
Was it the refs pulling up his DraftKings and taking Broncos money line?
No, it wasn't that, okay. Although there were a couple of extremely questionable calls by the referees, which at this point is just the norm with the NFL, apparently. But starting with the pregame show, like, you know, you tune in like 30 minutes beforehand and there's like four guys on a set.
Right, yeah.
Talking about the upcoming games, right? And I kept hearing these fucking commentators use the phrase standing on business. And it, like, my ears perked up, right?
For obvious reasons. Is this the one with, like, Terry Bradshaw?
Yes, yes.
He was saying it.
So I was like, what the fuck is happening? So, because, like, despite being 36 years old, I have been aware of this saying for a long-ass time because I myself stand on business.
See, I just heard it recently.
Brand new for you?
Yeah.
Standing on business as a, as a concept is not new.
Yeah.
It's not. But when Drewski dropped a skit with him making a song called Standing on Business, and then like a week later, Drake dropped a new album, including a song called Daylight that repeatedly says Standing on Business, I figured we were like near the end of the business standing saturation.
See, this made me think this is what started it all. Because I kept seeing at least the one clip. I didn't know there's like a whole song to the Drewski.
Well, it was a whole sketch that he put out that was like 2 minutes of him making the song and then like singing it around different
yeah, I just see the
settings.
The part where he's like going up to like some crew and just like, I'm standing on business.
And then he runs off.
Oh, I didn't even see that he runs off.
Oh, you got to watch the whole sketch, kid. You got to watch the whole sketch. But yeah, so he like, he walks up to like a crew of gangsters and says he stands on business and then they chase him and he clearly doesn't because he runs off. But when the Drewski sketch came out and then the Drake sketch came out right after it, I was like, this has got to be the end of standing on business. And I was wrong, because then after the Texans game, CJ Stroud even dropped the phrase in his post-game interview referencing Drewski. And then it was used on ESPN all fucking week by every single talking head who wanted to seem hip and plugged into the culture. And then every NFL fucking Instagram post I saw from ESPN had standing on business as the caption, and I was just like, what the fuck is happening? What is this? So now you're going to have a bunch of over 30-year-old white dudes throwing this phrase around, but not me, because I stand on business. And that is how you know this slang has officially jumped the shark. Once ESPN is using it, once the CBS broadcast crew and the pregame show is using it, it's fucking over.
Yeah, this happens with every sort of phrase or meme, like the Kevin James one most recently, like that was really funny at the start, and then everyone started overusing it, and it just kind of wore itself out.
Yeah, but meme culture, it's like, for some reason, it's less cringe for me.
Yeah.
Because at least there's some laughs in there, whereas with phrases like, I don't know if you saw Jim Harbaugh, he tried to explain how the Michigan football team uses bet.
Yeah.
He was like, we have a phrase in our locker room. It's bet. And I don't really know what it means, but the guys love it, and it keeps the team together, so bet.
Wait, did he say what it meant?
That was it. He clearly had no idea what it meant.
Yeah.
He didn't understand it at all, which is like, that's, once you've got people using it who don't even know what it means, it's fucking over. Once Jim Harbaugh is saying bet, it's fucking over. Although that one has kind of like seeped into the point that I feel like it's kind of forever now. People are going to be saying bet until I'm dead.
And that's like the same thing with staying on business. Like it's being overused right now, but once it dies down, people are going to like start to use it just
then
like
it'll be okay again.
More organically.
Yeah.
Instead of just like forcing it all the
time. Oh, but where we're at right now with the peak of the oversaturation, it makes it like if somebody said standing on business or I'm going to stand on business around me right now, I would be like, Jesus Christ, dude.
What about sitting on business? Like, well, if I'm too tired from standing on business all day, can I sit on business?
That's a good question.
Do you only have to stand?
I think you could sit on business.
So I'm sitting on business right now.
But that does make it sound like butt sex a little bit.
Okay. I thought it was just like, you know, I'm too lazy to stand, but sure.
I don't stand on business, but I'll sit on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know about that one.
Okay.
Maybe try it out at the bars this weekend. See how it goes over.
Well, Buddy's going to be out at the bars tonight, so.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
First Thursday.
No, they're not doing it this month, unfortunately.
That's,
I know.
What the fuck?
Well,
figured it'd be like the biggest one of the year in December.
You like to think. Well, they're doing it at like other places, but like it's not at the South Congress Hotel, so I don't really feel like going.
Man, that's fucked up.
Sad.
But you're going to be Buddy the Elf and go out tonight anyway.
No, this weekend.
Oh.
Friday and Saturday.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought you meant tonight.
No, not tonight.
You were going to sit on business tonight.
No, I'll be spreading you some Christmas cheer by singing loud for all to hear this weekend.
That's huge.
Yeah.
It's huge for all of us. But yeah, once the middle-aged white dudes get a hold of a phrase, it is really, 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 really over. And I mean, really, at this point, the way our culture works, once a phrase reaches mainstream recognition, like Standing on Business did with the Drewski sketch and then the Drake album, like the countdown has begun right then to that shit jumping the shark and becoming cheesy to use, right? Like, you might as well set a 2-week countdown where you can still use it before it becomes painfully played out the second you hear it in like a in the most mainstream possible setting, which at this point, Drewski and Drake both occupy that space. Like, in terms of comedy, it does not get more mainstream than Drewski. And in terms of music, it does not get more mainstream than Drake. So it's just something to be aware of, you know, if you want to sound cool.
Yeah, you don't want to use this phrase right now. Give it a few months.
Yeah, give it a bit. Give it a bit.
Let it rest.
And then if you can, like Cade said, if you can use it organically after that, I think you're good. But for right now, this window we're in here, skeptical.
Yeah. A lot of companies are probably going to start using it too. Like you already mentioned, oh, like God. ESPN. Like, you know, just like fucking Target or something.
Dude,
just
going to yes.
make a ad saying Stand yeah, on Business.
We're probably 3 weeks out from like a Chipotle commercial dropping that's based around this. It's going to be a fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
So anyone using it at this point right now is just admitting they're a corny dork without really realizing it. That's sus. Right, kid?
Right. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. In other pop culture news, I just watched the GTA 6 trailer, okay? The Grand Theft Auto 6 trailer. It came out like 3 days ago
yeah.
at this point. I think it came out December 4th. It was supposed to drop on the 5th, but it leaked. And then they said, fuck it. So they just put it out immediately after the leak. And I watched it for the first time literally right before we started recording because I wanted to keep my reaction for the podcast fresh. And we talked about Grand Theft Auto like when it got announced that the trailer was coming out. I think it was last week or the week before. Maybe on Patreon, I can't recall. But like, I grew up playing this video game, like the first iteration of it, which I feel like most kids these days aren't even aware of, where it was like the bird's eye view, old school GTA, like not first person, not even third person.
Looks completely different back then than it does now.
It was crazy, yeah. Like same themes, same ideas, but it was like mostly driving cars around and crashing them and then like getting out and running. It was, anyway, completely different game back before all of these iterations of gaming pushed the technology so much further into the future. And so this is a big deal for me. This is huge news for people who grew up gaming in like the 90s and early 2000s and shit, that Grand Theft Auto is finally putting out a new version, a new iteration, because they've been eating off GTA 5 for over a decade. Like, they still make millions and millions of dollars off Grand Theft Auto 5 every year, but it came out in, like, I don't even know.
What, I think it was 2012 or 13.
2013, so yeah. Over 10 years now. September of 2013 is when it dropped. And it was awesome. I fucking love Grand Theft Auto. It is super great. It's also very controversial. Basically my entire life now, parents have been arguing like, these video games are fucking up the kids. It's why they shoot each other.
Yeah, turn them violent.
Yeah, they're making them do crime.
Yeah.
Elon Musk famously on Twitter after the Grand Theft Auto trailer came out said that he tried GTA 5, but he didn't like it because in the first mission it was making him shoot cops and he doesn't like to do crime. Like, what a narc, dude. It's a fucking video game, bro. Just chill out. Yeah.
You do it in the video game, so you don't do it in real life. You know, you take out your anger.
Exactly. That's how I always felt about
it. Yeah.
It's a release.
Exactly.
Yeah. That way you can do B&Es and not have to go to prison, you know?
Yeah. You know, you could die, go to the hospital, and then you just come right back out completely fine. Can't do that in real life.
Wasted.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the new game, first of all, it looks amazing, just like graphics-wise. There are parts in the trailer that you're like, is that actual real footage of people, or is that a video game? But it's set in the fictional world of Leonida, which is Grand Theft Auto's Florida. And I always wondered, like, you know, it's always a big deal, like, oh, what city are they going to pick next to do the game
in? Yeah, like GTA 5 was in California.
Right.
And this is, like, the second time. Yeah, this is
because Vice City was in Miami, which is like their Miami, right? Mm-hmm. Vice City is the Miami, Leonida is the Florida. But it sounds like this game is more based in like the state of Florida.
Yeah,
than it is just the city of Miami.
I think they said you can like go through the whole state.
Like it's going to be huge, yeah. The biggest iteration of Grand Theft Auto yet, which is to be expected. But so Leonida represents Florida, Vice City represents Miami. This is the first time we've got a female protagonist named Lucia, which I'm sure pissed off a lot of the incels online, but. My guess is you'll be able to pick between playing with Lucia and the dude we see in the trailer that's like her partner.
Yeah, it's kind of like a Bonnie and Clyde situation they got going. And I'm imagining you can go between the two, kind of like in GTA 5 with...
You had three guys in GTA 5, so mm-hmm. there may be even more characters that we're not aware of. But yeah, one of the coolest things about the trailer is that clearly within GTA 6... there's going to be some kind of a social media platform akin to Instagram, because in the trailer they show like a bunch of crazy shit happening in Leonida, which is all inspired by crazy ass clips of shit happening in Florida from real life. Excuse me. Like the lady carrying two hammers, and then there's the white kid with a completely tatted up body, and there's a dude like pulling an alligator out of his pool. So people went and found like the real life news clips that match up with those moments. Yeah, in
there's
the
also the one where the girl is like twerking on the car that like actually happened in real life. The dude that's like butt ass naked running from the cop at the gas station.
Oh yeah, yeah. And then the dude naked gardening.
Yeah,
those are all real because as we all know, Florida. It's an absurd place,
mm-hmm.
and Florida man stays up to some shit.
Yeah, and like GTA, like especially with GTA 5, I imagine Vice City and the other ones, it's like a social commentary on like what's happening in society, and this is the type of shit that happens in Florida.
Yep, yeah. I guess, I mean, I understand why they're going back to Vice City and Leonida, because Florida really is like the ultimate representation of the ridiculousness of America mm-hmm. in a lot of ways, right? Like the mix of culture there is insane. You've got like a bunch of old white retirees that go down to Florida to retire, right?
Yep.
Like New Yorkers do that famously. There's a shit ton of them. But you've also got like a crazy mix of all these different cultures, like Cuban. And it's like Scarface, right? Like the 80s, everybody thinks about Miami when they think about like the 1980s and that height of opulence that the 80s entailed. I get it. It makes sense.
Yeah, and you played Vice City, right?
Oh, yeah. I played it for an absurd amount of hours.
Yeah, so like it probably looked completely different then than it does now. I mean, not like graphics-wise, but just like... the things you like were seeing from the NPCs or whatever. And so I think they just wanted to like go back to that city
and give an update.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's going to be sick. I'm very much looking forward to it. Trailer looks incredible, and it made me feel like I need to buy a next generation console now to mentally prepare, but it'd be a massive waste of money because I don't know when I would play.
Yeah, I was about to say, you probably don't have much time
My gaming life has died. With a sub 1 year old in the house,
the trailer song that went pretty hard. I like that.
Tom Petty,
Love Is a Long Road.
Yeah,
I'm also curious to see, you know, what songs they include for the radio stations.
Yeah, there was already like a bunch of different artists vying for stations because mm-hmm. you know how you can. Like, it's one of the big things about GTA that makes it so fun. While you're cruising around in a car, there's, like, usually, like, 10 radio stations to pick from. I saw Metro Boomin.
That'd be nice.
Is one of the people who's trying to get his own station.
Yep. I think I need a Kodak Black station.
Oh,
just, you know,
yes.
To tie into the Florida vibes.
Those vibes.
He did make an appearance in the trailer, too. I don't know if you saw that.
What?
No, it looked like.
It does look like Kodak a little bit, yeah.
The dude with that one
I also
haircut.
Saw Tim the Tap Man thought that he was in the trailer. He was like, is that me? It's like a screenshot of a big fat white guy that's all tatted up.
Mm.
But yeah.
Yeah. Also, another thing I was curious about. So if you're playing as Lucia,
uh-huh.
are you able to hire a male prostitute and have them go to town on your box?
That's a good question.
Because, you know, in the last games, you just pick up a prostitute, you just take her in your car, go to an alley, and then... you just watch them give them head.
The fucking car starts bouncing,
yeah.
dude.
So I'm curious to see what they do with that. And then the strip club looks pretty crazy, too. They had, like, bottle service and stuff. It just looks ratchet as hell.
Oh, hell yeah.
Can't wait.
Strip club was always an awkward phase in GTA.
It's like, it's so weird.
You go in a room and get a lap dance and you just watch, and it's like, it's just, it was never hot enough. Let me put it that way. So I was like, what the fuck is this? Why am I
looking at virtual boobies?
As long as you want, you could sit there and just watch this virtual stripper dance.
Just lose thousands of dollars to a virtual stripper.
Yeah, that was a weird element of the game.
But I also, so I think it's only being released on the PS5 and whatever the new Xbox is. I haven't seen anything about PC, which sucks. So it makes me think.
It'll definitely come out on PC.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's coming out like at the same time.
It won't. It'll be console specific.
That sucks. So I do have to get a new console then too.
I can't remember. Is it usually PlayStation exclusive first, or has it changed?
I think it's just both at the same time.
Okay.
And then PCs later, it sounds like.
The new Xbox is Series X, I think.
Yeah, so probably going to have to wait a minute on that, unfortunately.
Yeah, anyway, my biggest hope is that by the time this comes out in 2025, I actually have time to play it.
Yeah.
Because right now, the way my parenting schedule works, there's just no
time.
I guess I could just not ever see my wife again or talk to her again. That'd be the sacrifice I'd have to make. But yeah, Into the Trailer says it's coming in 2025. People were super butthurt about that.
Which, I mean, that's not that long, though. It's a year, because we're already almost to 2024, so it's really not that bad.
I saw a lot of that Kevin Garnett meme from whatever that...
Uncut Gems?
Yeah.
Why the fuck would you show me something if I can't have it?
Why the fuck would you show it to me if I can't have it?
Well, that's how trailers work. It's not out yet,
right,
to get you hyped up.
I mean, I guess, in fairness, like, HBO just released the first teaser trailer for House of the Dragon Season 2, and it doesn't come out until summer of 2024. So that's eight months away, and this is in the same vein. I understand building the hype, and it was a pretty generic trailer. It's just giving you overviews of the city and, like, a couple of shots of the characters or whatever with some lines. But for the most part, just trying to give you the vibe and start to build hype. So I get it. I get it. But it is... 2025 does feel really far away.
Yeah.
So all we have to do is survive till then.
Right. Yeah, that's the biggest thing. It's like...
got to be alive when this drops.
I can't die within the next year because I got to play this game.
Dude, that's always how I felt with, like, between seasons of Game of Thrones. Like, whenever they would announce, like, the next season is coming out at this date, I always had this overwhelming feeling, like, all right, I need to survive until then, which is kind of sad.
Yeah, I can't unalive myself because I got to play the new GTA.
Got to make it to the GTA 6 release date,
I know
date,
life
bro.
Is tough right now. I'm really down, but, like, God, I got to play that new
GTA.
Dude,
we need things to motivate us as people to get, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, when you have a vacation plan, you're like, all right, I can just make it to this vacation.
Yeah.
And for me and a lot of sad people, that is now GTA 6's release date.
Mm-hmm.
So there we go. We've got another new sponsor today that's so good they've gotten me to switch to their brand. So take heed, brethren. Today's episode is brought to you by Lucy. Lucy makes tobacco-free nicotine for people to focus better, think deeper, chill out smoother, and inspire creativity. I had one of their pouches right before recording, and I feel creatively inspired. I know you can feel the energy, Cade. So what makes Lucy unique? We're talking 100% pure tobacco-free nicotine. You'll never find tobacco in any of Lucy's products ever. Lucy pouches are available in 5 strengths between 2 milligrams and 12 milligrams and 12 different flavors. Cinnamon, mint, which has been my favorite, mango, wintergreen, pomegranate, apple ice, and espresso. Lucy has the perfect balance of nicotine and flavor, and in their breakers pouches, there's a little ball in there that you can bust for an additional flavor burst, which is awesome. I've been crushing breakers left and right. Lucy is superior to any other pouches I've tried, and they're juicy, not going to leave your mouth dry, which is huge. If you're a pouch user, you know how annoying the dry mouth can be that comes with it. Whether you use nicotine to focus better, get a boost in energy, or to chill and relax, Lucy is made for your nicotine routine. If you want to try Lucy's tobacco-free breakers, pouches, or gum, go to lucy.co/RBP and use promo code RBP to get 20% off your first order. Lucy offers free shipping and has a 30-day refund policy. If you change your mind, that's lucy.co/RBP. Use code RBP to get 20% off. And always free shipping. And here comes the fine print. Lucy products are only for adults of legal age, and every order is age verified. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. So I spent Monday through Wednesday sick in bed, if you can't tell.
Sounds
from
like
the,
it, yeah.
The violent cough. Because my kid brought home yet another god-awful version of the common cold to absolutely destroy my worn-down immune system. I don't even know at this point. I'm starting to accept that I might just get sick every single month, and it stinks.
I don't know how I haven't gotten sick more.
I really don't either. I mean, partially it's because I try to stay away from the office when I'm sick and yeah. spare you.
Mm-hmm. Like, I do feel a general shittiness most days.
Sure, sure, yeah.
But not like, oh, like, I can't get out of bed because I'm so sick.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't, you know, this job is not easy to do when you have, like, a bad cold. That's what sucks about it. Like, if you, you know, my voice is even a little deeper today, like an octave deeper than usual because...
But that kind of sounds sexier.
Sure.
Would you say?
Sure. Some might argue that.
Yeah.
But it's less easy for me to talk in long stretches without, like, coughing up a lung or sneezing or sniffling, which if you've ever listened to a podcast where somebody's just sitting there like... It's fucking awful. It's a terrible, terrible experience. So I spent the better part of this week in bed because of this cold. And it's like, you know, when you're sick, like one day is not so bad. Like I can do one day of feeling shitty, no matter how shitty, I can do one day. It's kind of nice, actually, just staying in bed for a day, hitting the recharge button, watching fucking, you know, I was watching Better Call Saul, trying to catch up on that.
Mm.
But day two, you're like, all right, this is starting to get old. I think I'm losing my mind a little bit. Day three, you are losing your fucking mind. And like every consequent day just gets worse and worse. It starts to grind you down. Like yesterday, I was just begging for something to give me just one fucking endorphin, which I never got, by the way. It was awful. So I made a list of the best things to do when you're sick. There are not good options.
No, there aren't a lot on this list.
This is what I came up with. Eat hot soup.
Mm, what soup are we going with?
I'm a tomato soup guy.
Okay.
I love a French onion.
All right. Not going classic chicken noodle?
Chicken noodle is probably the best.
Best option for when you're sick.
Just
yeah.
in general. Mm-hmm. I love chicken noodle soup.
Yeah, I'm not much of a soup guy, but I will go chicken noodle. I've never had tomato soup. I don't necessarily want to have hot tomato juice, but that's
yeah.
just me.
You know, Bill Simmons argued that soup is the perfect food.
How so?
I don't know. He just
made that claim and
he just
didn't give any
said
like,
that in a commercial for his HBO show and people were like, what?
All right.
What the fuck does that have to do with anything?
Doesn't tea help a lot too?
Oh yeah.
When you're sick, did you drink a lot of tea?
No, didn't have any tea.
Okay.
I'm not a big tea guy.
Neither am I, unless it's Arnold Palmer. Then I'll just drink it by the jug.
Yeah, that's not hot though.
Yeah, no. It's probably not that great for you either.
That's for getting drunk.
Arnold Palmer?
Isn't it? Can't you get an Arnold?
No, well, you can get...
An alcoholic
like,
one?
Yeah, but I just drink, like, you know, just half lemonade, half iced tea.
There are non-drunks going around ordering Arnold Palmers. I always thought that was, like, a purely for getting fucked up purposes, but it's just a mix of tea and lemonade.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, half and half, yeah.
Okay.
But and Sprite, I think that's good.
Sprite helps the tummy.
The tummy.
Feels good on the
yeah,
throat.
Yeah, when your tummy hurts, yeah.
Yeah. Got a little tum-tum ache. Yeah. Anyway, number one is eat hot soup. Number two is sleep.
Makes it, yeah, just sleep the sick away.
Sleep the pain away, yeah. Baby. Number three is binge watch TV shows, which is mostly what I did. Like, I remember the hype around Better Call Saul at the end.
Mm-hmm.
People were like, oh, it's fucking great. It's just as good, if not better, than Breaking Bad. People I respect were saying this. And I was like, damn, okay, I guess I got to go back in. And when I went back in yesterday, I finally got the window, right? Because my wife never watched any of this. She's not down for the ride. I jumped into season three.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Where I was.
Okay.
And I remembered immediately why I fucking quit watching this show. And it's because the storylines around Chuck, Saul, or Jimmy's brother
yeah.
are awful. That character stinks. I don't give a shit about Chuck. And I finally got to the point where, spoiler alert, Chuck exits the show. I did it last night. I finally got there. I was like, yes, finally, because I don't care about that dude, whether or not he's allergic to fucking electricity or whatever was happening there. Did we even find out if that was real? That storyline occupied three fucking seasons of the show.
Yeah, so...
Three seasons.
I've tried to watch Better Call Saul twice now, and I haven't been able to make it past six episodes of the first season both times.
It's so slow,
because
dude.
of his character.
And Chuck sucks.
Yeah, he's the worst.
Terrible, terrible, terrible storyline. But it's also just, it's the slowest burn of anything I've ever watched. It's like, I get it. It's like artsy and cool, and it's just so fucking slow. And the ones that have Chuck, I couldn't do it. Anyway, I got through it. Now I'm at the part where things are starting to pick up and it's exciting. But yeah, obviously binge watching TV shows is a great way to pass the time when you're sick in bed and feel like ass.
Yeah.
Number four is jack off.
You're able to do that. You're not like too tired or anything.
I'm telling you, I'm not saying this is a personal favorite of mine, but people are jacking it when they're sick. That's a fact.
Oh man, I feel like you just not be in the mood for it.
Telling you, they're jacking it. You never seen that Curb Your Enthusiasm episode where Larry is more horny when he's sick?
No, I've never seen that one.
I'm not saying I identify with that, but maybe I do.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe.
Okay.
Number five is watch movies. It's very similar to number three.
Yeah. What are your go-to shows or movies that you're watching?
Movies, I mean...
I feel like Lord of the Rings has to be in
there. Yeah. You go with the trilogies, right? Or like Harry Potter.
I'm watching...
Fucking Star Wars.
I'm watching Harry Potter right now, going through that again. I'm not sick or anything, but like those are definitely some good ones to watch.
You're just mentally sick.
Yeah. Just mentally unwell.
Not physically.
Yeah.
I bet a lot of people do Marvel when they're sick.
For sure, yeah.
Just bust through a bunch of Marvel movies.
Or maybe just like...
While they're jacking off.
Yeah. Maybe like hit one of the directors like... Tarantino or Scorsese,
sure.
Jack off to those.
Some of the greats.
Some of the greats.
I don't recommend eating hot soup while you jack off and watch Tarantino films. You gotta space these things out.
Yeah, I got
one at a time.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because you don't want cum in your tomato soup.
Well, not just that. I mean, I was worried more about like spilling the hot soup on your piece.
That too. There's a lot of things that can go wrong.
A lot
when you're jacking off and eating hot soup.
Yeah, don't. Just don't.
Yeah.
That's the advice I have for you today. My number six is mindlessly scroll Instagram, and that's all I came up with.
You're not doing TikTok? I feel like TikTok's more fun.
I'm old, man.
Yeah, but there's just so much better stuff on TikTok, I feel. Like, Instagram is just giving you the same shit. It is
super repetitive, I'll be honest with you. Like, it's just, it's a fucking nightmare out
there. Like, at least on TikTok, like, I'm getting, like, random-ass movie clips. Granted, they also have like someone playing Subway Surfer right next to it for whatever reason.
My whole Instagram right now is just every other post is Brock Lesnar and his daughter.
I saw that picture. I was like, oh, yeah.
It legitimately looks like somebody photoshopped a wig onto Brock Lesnar.
I was about to say, it kind of looked like he just like put on a.
That's
a
actually,
wig
I mean,
like,
that's legit his daughter, though, dude.
Yeah.
She won the shot put at Colorado State.
I mean, yeah.
I feel so bad for her, though. Like, she got every single possible gene that her dad had to spare.
Yeah. Yeah. Not too much from the mother, unfortunately, it looks like.
No, unfortunately. Well, as far as we know, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, okay, so mindlessly scroll Instagram / TikTok.
Okay. And that's it.
That's it. Those are the activities you can do when you're sick. I don't know. I really don't know anything else. I don't know.
Would you read?
Pet your dog? Pet your pets?
Yeah.
Reading, maybe, yeah. Anything that can take your mind out of the present, which sucks because you're sick, and put it somewhere else.
Yeah. I don't get sick all that often. Like, the last time I got sick...
Fuck you, Kate.
...was 2 years ago when we all got COVID.
Oh, yeah. That was fun.
Mm-hmm. And I gamed a lot.
Mm-hmm. Gaming is a good one.
Yeah. And I just, like, laid on my couch and just, like...
Clickety clackety.
Yeah.
Just picked up hookers in GTA and went to the strip club, huh?
So I should be playing a Guardians of the Galaxy game, I think.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's fun stuff. Wow. Really cool. Yeah. Great stuff.
Yeah. Anyway, hope that helps anybody who's out there. That's so listening to podcasts is probably
that's a good
sick
one
activity.
Yeah.
Just fucking lay there and listen to other people talk.
Listen to our voices.
That's a good one. Yeah. Moving on. Time Magazine. Every year they pick somebody to name like person of the year, and it's usually a big deal. It's like Barack Obama, fucking Elon Musk, and this year it's Taylor Swift, which is kind of hysterical in its own right, but it gets a lot funnier when you actually go and read the interview they did with her, because there are tidbits like this one I'm about to read you. So this is written by the interviewer. It's written by the interviewer. I'm just, and that's the person that is speaking here. Swift and I have been talking for a while now at her apartment, long enough that our coffees have gone cold and her cat, Benjamin Button, has trundled into the room, then gotten bored and left. She tells me about revisiting Reputation, which is perhaps the most charged era in the tour.
Is that her, is that an album of hers?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, like an old one that she's about to re-release? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it says, and Taylor Swift says, laughing, it's a goth punk moment of female rage at being gaslit by an entire social structure. I think a lot of people see it and they're just like, sick snakes and strobe lights.
What is this album about?
I don't know. It says the upcoming vault tracks for Reputation will be fire, she promises.
But will they go? Are they bangers?
I hope so. The re-recordings project feels like a mythical quest to her. And then it has a quote from Taylor Swift that says, I'm collecting Horcruxes. I'm collecting Infinity Stones. Gandalf's voice is in my head every time I put out a new one. For me, it's a movie now.
So is Taylor Swift secretly murdering a bunch of people so she can detach fragments of her soul and put it in her album so she can be immortal? Is that what she means by collecting Horcruxes?
That's what she's
implying. Because that's what a Horcrux is, yeah.
I mean, also, doesn't the dude who collects the Infinity Skulls wipe out 50%
skulls,
of the stones, wipe out 50% of the fucking population?
Yeah, so, yeah, she's just going to remove all people who aren't Swifties from the universe.
Earth?
Yeah.
I just don't, it's a, that is an absurd collection of references to make. Horcruxes, Harry Potter, Infinity Stones, Marvel, and then she's just like, oh, fucking,
yeah, I didn't understand
Gandalf's
that.
Voice is in my head.
I didn't understand that Gandalf line.
I really didn't follow the, she just wanted to force Lord of the Rings in there too. She's like, how can I get all of the nerds on board?
Yeah, I'm just trying to show like, I'm just like the rest of you guys.
I'm so relatable.
Yeah.
I already got the NFL jocks on board. Now, how do I get the fucking dorks? All right, I'm going to make a reference to every major fucking movie series
that
exists.
She didn't put Star Wars in there, though.
I know. Maybe she hasn't gotten there yet.
Yeah, no.
Sad.
Very sad.
She should have said something about the Force. Mm-hmm. Star Wars is probably the easiest one.
Right, yeah. But, no, congrats to her for being the person of the year. That's huge, you know. And we all have Travis Kelce to thank for that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's all. It's all his. It's, she was just a nobody before
exactly.
him.
Exactly. Yeah.
He really blew her up with his podcast mainly.
Yeah. That's what did it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, no, I get it. She did drop like 5 albums, go on 3 tours, and drop a movie. So it makes sense why she's the most. It's like the most noteworthy, like the person
it's
that's
the most
like,
influential person.
Yeah.
That's what it is. The Time Person of the Year award.
Yeah. So it makes sense.
I still don't know how she like. Maybe she's like maybe the most famous person of the year. I don't really understand how she's influencing people though. Like, do people go around like watching for what Taylor Swift is wearing and then dressing like her and shit? Isn't she pretty basic? Is what I'm saying. And I mean that with all due respect.
Well, I think like with her tour and stuff, like she was like helping like the economy in that city or whatever. Because like,
yeah, I know that was a massive thing.
Then like movie ticket sales too went up a lot for her. So I think I don't know, maybe stuff like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just boosting the economy.
Well, T Swift, man.
Yeah.
She's really having a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Like nothing we've ever seen before and maybe we'll never see again.
Yeah. I've been hearing about her nonstop all year.
Literally the entire fucking calendar. Yeah. 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 Speaking of which, Sports Illustrated named their Sports Person of the Year.
Mm. And who was that?
Deion Sanders.
Of course. That's who I think of as the Sports Person of the Year.
What an absolutely atrocious decision that was made here. That is fucking terrible.
Maybe for like 4 weeks, I could see that.
The first 2 weeks of the season,
yeah.
Oh man, it's a bad one. It's like they made this choice in September and then they like brought it back up. Like, oh shit, we picked Deion. What's he been doing since? And they checked and we're like, ah, let's just leave it.
One game in
let's
the
just
last
fucking,
10 weeks.
Let's just leave it. It's not that big of a deal. I did see him come out and say that he fully expects Colorado to be in the extended playoff next year, and I was just like, dude, shut the fuck up.
Got some high hopes. What conference are they in?
I don't know.
Because the Pac-12 is done. Like, it's gone.
And again, Deion, not to take away from him, but like, if he's the Sports Person of the Year, that's just setting a weird standard. It's like, can you get talked about the most for a month? Then you're the Sports Person of the Year.
Well, no, the Sports Illustrated isn't really.
They suck.
Yeah, what it used to be.
They fucking suck, man.
So.
It blocked me on Twitter.
Very sad, but I feel like you're not missing out on much.
No, I'm not. They stink.
Yeah.
They're terrible.
Could follow them on Instagram, though, if you're really dying to get that Sports Illustrated news.
That's a good point. I don't think I will, though.
No, probably not.
SI is dead to me. Mm. Grew up loving it, though.
Yeah.
Back in its heyday. Now it's just washed. Terribly, terribly washed.
Very sad.
So there's the two most important people of 2023, yes. Taylor Swift and Deion Sanders. Congratulations to both. That will do it for today's show, but please support our sponsors by hitting the link in the description of this episode and using our dedicated codes. That's how we pay the bills here at Bolin Media. Again, you can find links to both of today's sponsors in the episode description below. To check out our other shows, go to bolinmedia.com. We've got Oysters, Clams, and Cockles, hosted by myself and one of my best friends of over 20 years, Mr. Barrett Dudley, currently covering Foundation Season 2 on Apple TV+. Phenomenal show. Highly recommend you watch it. And then utilize our companion podcast on Oysters, Clams, and Cockles as you go. We've also, of course, got Jared's F1 show, Formula Bone. F1 season wrapped up, but Formula Bone will be putting out F1 content all F-season, off-season long. F-season. Jared, J-Bone, Borislow over there on Formula Bone. Go to youtube.com/@FormulaBone and subscribe to support J-Bone and the content he is making that is F1 related all off-season long. And if you're a Houston sports fan, check out Banging the Can. Hit bolinmedia.com/shop to grab yourself some RBP merch for the holiday season. We've got finishing cups, Stack Good Days coffee mugs, baby onesies, mouse pads. We've got t-shirts, hats. We've got fucking a puzzle. One puzzle. bolinmedia.com/shop. If you're horny for sunsets like I am, we've got some horny for sunsets merch as well. bolinmedia.com/shop. Go today. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at WRBolin. Cade, where can the people follow you?
You can follow me on all the social media platforms at Cade Orris. That's KadeOrris.
This episode of RBP is presented by Bolin Media. Video of today's show was produced by Cade Orris, and you can find that video on youtube.com/@TheRossBolinPodcast, as well as funny clips in the form of YouTube Shorts. We'll be back later this week with another ad-free exclusive edition of RBP, available only on patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast. If you want to support our show, if you like what we do, if you want to make sure that we can continue to do what we do into the future, one way to do that is to go to patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast and subscribe for as little as $5 a month to access every new ad-free exclusive episode we put out, plus our entire backlog of hundreds of ad-free episodes available there on patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast. Never before heard except by people on Patreon supporting our podcast. Until next time, peace be with you and also with you.
Go low, baby.